Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, Dalton. Welcome to spring.
Doesn't feel like spring, especially from last night.
Well, yeah, poor you had to sit out in the cold. I was in the press box and was only slightly cold.
I froze last night. That was almost as cold as the soccer games I covered this past winter. I don't know why.
They also brought me cheeseburgers and sausage. No. That's what they do. That's how they do at Pontotoc.
I see why you wanted to go to that one and sent me over there.
That's the advantage of making the assignments. hey, people, welcome in. It's me, Brad, and Dalton, the other guy, here to talk high school sports for the next 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. No, we won't go that long, hopefully. But we got a lot of baseball and softball to talk about because, like I said, it's spring, so tis the season. We do have a little football news to touch on as well. We'll get to that. We'll have Athletes of the Week and all that fun stuff. Before we get going, just to remind you, you can access this podcast in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We come to you every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. That'll let you know when new episodes drop, and that is also just where you'll find all the updates you'll need on high school sports in these parts. So let's start with some baseball, Dalton. I went out to, like I said, I went out to Pontotoc Tuesday night. The Warriors, ranked number 3 by us, taking on unranked Morville, which has had a tough season thus far. 4 losses by 2 runs or fewer. Glad somebody caught that in my story today. I wrote 2 runs or less. Filed it. I think it was probably John Pitts. He changed it to 2 runs or fewer. Kind of ashamed I didn't get that correct. It's a common mistake.
It happens.
Yeah, but this time Morville won a close game. 3-2 was the final, so a bit of an upset on the road, but I figured it would be a good game and that they'd have a shot because they had Will Armistead on the mound, one of the best pitchers in Northeast Mississippi. And he was a little bit slow out of the gates. In fact, his coach, Derek Thompson, said this was probably the worst game he's thrown, which was still a really good game. He gave up 3 hits, which I guess was worse than last week against Amory. We only gave up 1 hit and lost, by the way. That's the kind of season it's been for Morville. They've had trouble really getting the key hits at the key times, but they managed to do that last night, just enough of them to win 3-2. Armistead had one of those hits, had a big RBI double there in the third inning, and then Ben O'Neill followed with an RBI single to make it 3-1. And then Pontotoc added an unearned run later on, but Morville holds on for the win, and you know, this is a team now that's 4-7, I think 2-3 in division. First division loss for Pontotoc, and they'll face each other again in Morville on Friday. Dalton and, of course, Armistead. Unfortunately for the Troopers, won't be able to pitch that night. But this is a young team that kind of inexperienced, but this you know, this win could be big for them going forward.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, just and. Any game that you have Will Armistead on the mound going forward, you know, it has a chance to win the game. You know, because I unfortunately have never seen him throw against a pure high school team. The only time I've ever actually seen him pitch over and over again was
For the 49ers.
For the 49ers of the summer, and he's just dominating JUCO guys, and
yeah,
you know, he's striking out guys that are committed to D1 and stuff like that. And you know, so he's having successful seasons over the summer. I'd love to see him. You know, I almost went out last week and saw him, but. You know, just I almost went to that one hitter that he lost last week, Amory.
Yeah, but, should have. But he's, I think, only threw 88 pitches, and he actually got better as the game went on as far as the pitch count. It was down the last 3 innings. I don't have it in front of me, but he probably didn't throw but 20-something pitches over the last 3 innings and retired 15 of the last 17 batters he faced.
And you mentioned just the inexperience of the team. You know, going forward, as those kids get more at-bats and everything, they're going to get a little better at the plate and – You know, he'll probably start getting a little more run support. You know, he had 3 runs last night.
Yeah.
He
entered the game with a .81 ERA. I haven't figured it up since last night, but he only gave up 1 earned run in 7 innings, and that makes him 3-2 on the year.
I think that's 4 straight complete games he's thrown also.
Yeah, and the previous 3, he gave up no earned runs.
Mm-hmm.
He only gave up 1 this time. And that was in the first inning. And then he kind of settled in and had a great outing. So a big win there for the Troopers. Going back to this past weekend, I think it was Friday, I went to North Pontotoc to watch the Vikings take on Kossuth. And that was a good one. North Pontotoc got the win thanks mainly to Sheffield Anthony, who had all 4 of their hits.
and good night at the plate.
Almost hit for the cycle. In fact, his last at bat, all he needed was a triple. He hit one to the wall, checked up at second. I thought he could have made it to third. I was kind of urging him to do that because I don't think I've ever seen somebody hit for the cycle like in person.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been like really cool to see that. But
you've been cheering in the press box, huh?
Yeah, I know. You're not supposed to cheer in the press. I was cheering for the storyline, okay? Because that would be great to be able to write about somebody who hit for the cycle. But still, he had all four of his team's hits, including a big home run that put them ahead. He let off three of his hits came leading off the inning. See, he let off the first, third, and fifth innings. So I think it was the fifth inning. Maybe he had that home run. But at any rate, whenever it was a big hit. And his first home run of the season. You know, he's not a big kid. Mm-mm. He's like his dad. He's built like his dad, the coach, yeah. Chad Anthony. Kind of short, but he got some power.
I like whenever he's getting into the box, you know, to take his at bat. He does a lot with the dirt. Did you notice
that? I guess I didn't notice that.
Oh, he does some of the routine he has whenever he steps into the batter's box. He wastes a lot of dirt. But I was told last time I was there that he makes up for it because he's working on that field all the time.
Oh, I bet he is. Yeah, yeah. But, of course, he's a catcher, and he does a great job defensively as well. So, nice win for North Pontotoc, who, by the way, went on to beat Pontotoc over the weekend. In fact, Pontotoc lost to North and South Pontotoc. And then a tough loss to Morville, so a bit of a skid there for the Warriors.
We got North Pontotoc number two in the area right now.
That's right.
They're playing really well.
They are. And I believe South entered the rankings this week.
They did.
Yeah. Okay. Coming up this weekend, got some big games. We got Lafayette and Saltillo, big division matchup between two 5A teams on Friday. And also Friday, Tremont at Smithville. Tremont's not having a bad year. And Smithville, of course, we know they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. With Jared Johnson and those guys. So that could be a good game there in 1A. Let's go to softball real quick, Dalton. You were, like I said, out at Morville in the cold last night watching the Lady Troopers take on a division foe, Caledonia. It was a good game.
Yeah,
it was a close game.
It was a close game. It wasn't really the best. It wasn't the best game I've ever seen. Definitely wasn't the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But, Caledonia scored a run in the first inning. I think they had back-to-back doubles, one and two hole hitters off Ansley Basham, you know, one of the top area players in Morville. And then Basham actually tied it up in the bottom of the first, gave him a 1-1 tie. I think she hit an RBI double off the left field wall. And then the second inning, Morville jumped out.
Yeah.
Scored five runs, I think, on six hits. They were hitting the ball well all night.
Yeah.
Basham had another RBI single. Addison Biffle had an RBI single. And then so they jump out 6-1. That gets cut to 6-5. They push it back out to 9-5. And then everything just kind of fell apart there in the sixth for Morville. Caledonia, I think they only had three hits in the inning, scored six runs, took advantage of three walks. They had Morville made two errors in the inning, I think. They tied the game on – it was like – to start the inning, it was a walk, fielder's choice, walk, single, error. So then loaded the bases with one out, and it was 9-6, and then Hannah Pettigrew for Caledonia came up and hit a triple in the right field, tied the game up, and then she scored the next at bat to give them the game-winning run. It was funny. I was talking to her after the game, and I asked her, you know, what was going through your mind when you stepped into the plate right there? She said, honestly, I just didn't want to strike out. She's like, please don't strike out.
Here. Fear of failure is a big motivator. I figure these two teams will be kind of battling it out for that division title. I think they meet again later this week. I'm trying to remember.
Play on Thursday. Yeah, Morville's now 3-1 in division. Caledonia's 4-1. So
okay.
They're right there together, right there.
Okay.
Basically tied for first.
Okay. Okay. Well, good deal. I had an update on Monday. I mean, Tuesday, was it? Yeah, it was Tuesday on Tupelo softball. And Ivy Watts, in particular, of course, she's been a mainstay for the Lady Waves since her seventh grade year. She's now a senior, so sixth year player on the varsity squad. And she was one of their best pitchers. I mean, last year she was 7-1, and, you know, she's been slinging the softball for years, but this season they've decided to move her out of the circle, let her focus more on hitting and playing in the field. She splits time at first base and catcher with Kat Knight. They kind of take turns there. And she's hitting the ball as well as she ever has. I mean, it's early in the season, but she's hitting .567 with 10 RBIs.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. She's a career .422 hitter. Had a really good game against Pontotoc last Friday, 4-for-4 with 5 runs batted in, hit her first 2 home runs of the season. So she said that kind of not having to worry about pitching has really helped her focus on her hitting because pitching can be pretty stressful. position to have to play, and requires a lot of work and whatnot. But they've got Tay Wren, a senior, who's been really good for them for a long time as well. So she's able to be that ace and has a 1.85 ERA, or she did going into Tuesday's games against Ethel. These stats are before Tuesday. But Paris Lehman, a sophomore, a good second baseman, is also now getting some time in the circle. And Coach Dana Ray likes her potential. So Tupelo doing pretty well right now, and got a big division game coming up on Friday against South Panola. And they actually play Hamilton tomorrow. You're going to be at that game, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be there for that one.
Yeah, maybe it won't be quite as cold.
I hope not. This will be the first time I actually get to see one of the teams this year, though. So,
yeah.
So I'm kind of excited about it. I always like seeing the teams I haven't watched yet.
Right, me too. And speaking of softball in the cold, I guess they'll be out in it on Friday. We got Houston at Corinth. Number one Houston against number two Corinth, our top two teams in the area.
Both undefeated, I think, right?
I believe so. Last I checked, I'm assuming they both won Tuesday night. I know Houston did. I think I haven't looked for Corinth's score. I think they both play Thursday as well. But regardless, we don't put any rankings out until next week. So even if one of them loses before Friday, we still got one versus two. Of course, Paige Kilgore and Aquana Brownlee leading the way for Houston, reigning 3A state champs. But Corinth, I mean, they were pretty good last year, and this certainly they've gotten even a little bit better this year, Dalton. So I'm looking forward to that matchup there. Mackenzie Patterson, the star player for the Lady Warriors. I think she's still pitching a good bit for them.
I remember seeing something about last night. They beat the crap out of somebody last night.
They probably did. I forget who they were playing. I can look at the schedule right here, Dalton, and they were playing at New Albany, so they probably should have won that game, I would think.
It was something along the lines of like between 18 and 20 runs to like two or something like that. Pretty dominant showing right there.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that on Friday. I think that game's at 5 o'clock at Corinth. Football news. Dalton, we got a new football coach hired last week. They found out about it like right not long after our last podcast, but Brennan Pugh is now the head coach for Vardaman. He was an assistant coach last season, and 2 years ago he was working in an office. He was like a glass estimator, whatever that is.
Sometimes you just can't stay away from the game.
Yep. And he played played three sports at Houston, and so he knows the area. And then he came on last year as an assistant coach, working with the receivers and the secondary, and to plays like Vardaman, he's kind of helping out in a bunch of areas, helped with game planning and whatnot. So, you know, and even he admitted that on paper there's probably more qualified candidates. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's only been in the coaching game for a year, but he knows this group of kids, and so he feels pretty confident that he can get the job done. He's been doing a lot of studying, preparing for this job. He did not expect it to come this soon.
Well, sometimes all you need is a chance.
It's all you need is a chance, man. So Brennan Pugh going to try to get the Rams on the winning track there. Let's do the shout-out. We do this every week. And this week we're going to give shout-outs to the Lindy Callahan Scholar Athletes. The MHSAA does this every year. They honor kids from around the state for being athletic and smart, of which I am neither, by the way. But they do, I think it's 16 in total that are honored in Mississippi. We had a few from the area, of course, get honored. Those kids are Lindsey Hill of West Point, Tyler McGregor of Hickory Flat, Luke Overton of Tupelo, and Garibeth Self of Ingomar. So those are the winners from our coverage area.
Congrats to them.
Congrats indeed. And let's wrap it up with the athletes of the week. We do this every week, honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments on the field of play from the past week. Female athlete of the week, Annie Brooke Morgan, a sophomore for Smithville, a softball player. They played a lot of games this past week because they had the Monroe County tournament. Mm-hmm. They played 7 games since last Thursday. That's a lot of games.
Yes, it is.
Over those 7 games, Annie Brooke was 11 for 15 at the plate, had a double, 2 triples, a home run, 14 RBIs, and 11 runs scored for the Lady Seminoles.
You know, if you're getting one RBI every at-bat, that's not bad.
Not a bad average there. I believe Smithville is like 14-2 right now. They're doing pretty well. Male athlete of the week, and I got to see part of this last Saturday. Cade Bell, the senior for East Union, over his last 4 games, he was kind of struggling there at the beginning of the season, but he's really come on of late. He, in those last 4 games, 10 for 15 with 3 doubles, a triple, 10 RBIs, and 8 runs scored over 4 games. And I saw him against West Union on Saturday. He had two hits and three runs batted in. That was the second game of the day. He also had a pretty good game against Ripley earlier on Saturday. So congrats to Cade and Annie Brooke, our athletes of the week. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Do thank you all for tuning in. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps for updates on all things high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Dalton's on Twitter as well at DLMiddleton8. And so am I at Brad Locke. All right. Thank you all again for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.